Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the PRS. The order of business is going to change today under the public reports, and we're going to have 5.8 and 5.10 go first on the agenda, and that's commercial operations quarter one performance, pages 141 to 158, and 5.10, property and facilities management, quarter one performance report, pages 173 to 190. Does anyone have a declaration of interest? You may say so now or later on. And we can go now on to page item 4.1, which is... Okay, first of all, we have Simon Bain here, who's covering for Mr. Kevin Anderson. And we have any apologies?
Apologies from Councillor Winchester and Councillor Parry.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Janet.
And Kieran Munro's not. He sends his apologies.
Thank you. Minutes of the previous meeting. Are these agreed? Anyone have comments? Thank you. We move on now to the first public report, 5.8, commercial operations. Thank you.
Good morning. It's Chris Lawson from Risk Management. I'm representing Ricky Moffat, Head of Commercial Operations, this morning. So, as you can see in the quarterly report, commercial operations have a focus on a range of transformation activities. These are listed under page 141. The service are progressing bottom-up reviews that were previously approved, both in waste services and land and countryside services, with a bottom-up review in road services to follow. There's a comprehensive waste strategy is being developed at the moment, and new income-generating activities are progressing positively. I'm happy to take any questions and feed these back to the service as required.
Thank you very much. Councillor Alexander?
I just wondered if, because the new Miller Hill facility is coming online quite soon, if it's still financially viable to separate all our waste, and should it not all just go to Miller Hill and be burned off, or is there still a financial benefit to separating our waste?
There is still a financial benefit. There's still a cost per tonne for waste that will go to Miller Hill that we'll be paying as part of our disposal stream. It's a lesser cost than we would pay if we were sending the waste to landfill, as has been in the past, but it's still more cost advantageous for the council to segregate waste and recycle waste where we can.
Do we still have markets for our plastic waste?
I'd need to feed that back to the service to get a response on what the condition of the market for plastic waste is at the moment. There are fluctuations from time to time in the rates that are paid, and that obviously has an impact on the overall cost. But at the moment, still the understanding that the cost of recycling is more cost advantageous than putting all the waste to the Energy for Waste plant.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on this paper report? Thank you. Are we agreed we can move on? Thank you. We move now on to 5.10, Property and Facilities Management, Quarter 1 Performance, page 173.
Thanks, Chair. Just taking the highlights of the front pages of the report. It seems quite some time ago since some of these have been written, but we had successful handover for 69 units at Stubhill Road in the house build programme during the first quarter of the year. The new Battle High School, which seems to have been open for some time now, but that was handed over during that quarter on time and under budget. The facility services highlights, we've had introduction and the successful going live period for the online catering payment system, Pay. We've had a review of the office cleaning, within our premises, and that's been implemented since April. We've had the summer life cycle works, which were planned throughout all of our schools and indeed the PPP estate, in particular down at Dalkeith, which has seen the school swimming pool upgraded and some replacements in there, some of the carpet surfaces and the likes, decoration, but more importantly the big aspects of the mugger pitch and the running track were both refurbished through the first part of the year. And that's increased the footfall down there, and we've seen, certainly on the artificial surface, a huge uptake of clubs taking out rental of that facility. We've had, in the PPP side of things, in the school estate, we've seen the need for modular units being introduced, and we've been procuring those across five school sites for the increased school rolls. Similar to the cashless catering system, we've got the new leisure management system, Legend, which has also been introduced and gone live, and that will include in the near future online services to make bookings and payments. We've brought to Council the sport and physical activity strategy, and that's now in its implementation stage. Along with the school, we've seen the community campus at New Battle opened, and again, the footfall has actually been in excess of what our expectation was, which has been fantastic. The school's sporting events, the summer sporting events that we have from our sport and leisure team that programme over the summer, we had a massive range of opportunities for kids to come and take part through the holiday period, very well supported there. Age and Well team have now met the quality standard, which has been designed by Volunteer Centre Dundee, and they got their award presented in June of this year. In property assets, we've been looking to the industrial estate and make improvements there, and also the energy supply options that we've been investing in. We've changed our security force at Dundas Buildings because of the costs involved there, and we've brought in 11 property guardians who occupy the building throughout the day and evening, and that reduces our costs in the order of £48,000 per year. We still have challenges and risks ahead of us, and those challenges in particular in building services, but across all the services, is to reduce our operating costs whilst maintaining those frontline services and indeed the capital plan that we have to contribute towards. The building services team really are struggling to get qualified tradesmen and professionals, because we've now seen an increase in the marketplace there and inflated salaries coming through in the system. It's just a sign of the cycle that we go through within that service. We successfully restructured the janitorial service within facility services, but that's an ongoing process, and we continue to monitor that with the head teachers and feed that back in through our discussions with the unions as well. Within catering, we're looking to reduce our plastics packaging, obviously in line with the question that we've just heard. Whilst that's a challenge, trying to change our supply chain, it's something that we're keen to make headroads into. In sport and leisure, again, the business case for Hill End is a challenge ahead of us, and we are continuing with that process of the pre-application for planning. It says in the report here that we'd be making a further report to Council in September, but I think that's going to be later in the calendar year as opposed to, obviously, September having come and gone, almost anyway. In property assets, we just want to highlight that we are looking of ways to improve the generating income into that portfolio by opening up other opportunities that we may have becoming redundant. So, always looking to try and change for the better. Stop and take questions at that.
Thank you very much. Who would like to start questions or comments? Councillor Cassidy.
Thank you, Chair. Gary, I'd just like to congratulate your department, or the Brickies department, on some of the achievements that are going on here. I'd also like to say how much I support the Hill End development. I think it's one of the most exciting things that I've seen in Midlothian in my lifetime. I think I said that before. And I know there's a few negatives here with the tradesmen, and I think every industry is suffering that at the moment, trying to get good tradesmen in. But on the whole, I'd say you're moving in the right direction, and I applaud the efforts you guys are making.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? None? Councillor McCall.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to ask, what is the process if someone has an idea, like a member of the public or a member of staff has an idea that would maybe fit the Entrepreneurial Council? How does that, how should it be brought to the Council?
We previously had what was deemed Tell Ken in operation, so people could drop an email into to the previous Chief Executive. I don't see that particularly changing. If somebody's got an idea and they want to bring it to our attention, then line management structures would allow that to be brought up. Certainly in my services, if people want to drop me a line directly, absolutely open for that suggestion. Always willing to look at new ideas which are going to help us.
Thank you. Any other questions? I have one question. School meals, again, the target's below what it should be because of competition on the high street, and it's consistently below target. What are we doing, or what are we attempting to do to try and improve that and make sure the children do stay at school for a healthier option?
Yeah, the target that we set ourselves in this one is actually of our own making. We put the benchmark higher than what the national average is, so we're always trying to strive for something better than what we've achieved before. The difficulty we've got is we obviously see the high street bringing not just their product through the shops adjacent to the schools, also mobile vehicles coming into the area and setting up right outside the school gates sometimes. And trying to keep children in the school, particularly in high schools, is quite difficult. Peer pressure and all the rest. But what we have been doing is we've been looking at the menus, we've been consulting with the pupils to see if we can make it more attractive. We do, however, have to meet with the government's guidelines on that, and there's a limitation as to what we can put on that menu. Sugar and salt and obviously the unhealthy side of the ingredients is something we're just not permitted to put in place. Vending machines, for example, cannot stock fizzy drinks and crisps and the likes in the school boundaries. So there's an attempt to make it more attractive. We've been introducing what we call the wheelie box and the likes of Last Wade, which is out in the playground, so that the children don't have to be in the confines of the school. They can go into the playground, still have open air eating. We've tried to make the seating within the school more flexible, and the outlets and more than just the one servery that we've got in the one place. So at Newbattle, you'll see there's other servery hatches and the same seating that we've seen at Last Wade, so they've got more informal seating just to try and keep kids in the school. But it's a hard ask, and we're not the only council feeling that. There's every council in the country seeing a migration on their school uptake.
Thank you very much. And how closely are you working with your educational colleagues to try and have a better uptake?
That's just an ongoing process. That hasn't changed. I mean, we obviously do work closely there. We've got the healthy living agenda that continues, not just with the schools, but with the sport and leisure team and the NHS as well. So it's something that we'll just keep reinforcing and trying to work better and better.
Thank you. I do have another question about the tone zone retention. That's low as well. And is that why you've come to the realisation that you should explore the pure gym kind of model?
No. The pure gym model was really looking at retaining the facilities in the communities rather than just closing them. That was an idea that we were looking at. The retention numbers are still particularly good, but they have dropped off from a peak that we saw maybe 2 years ago. We've obviously increased our charges, but that's actually resulted in a higher income stream, despite the slight drop-off in the retention numbers. But it's something we'll just keep monitoring. We tried to introduce the over-60s increases, and that would have seen a further reduction if we'd put that through in the one hit. So we've staged that over 3 years, and that's as much as would be palatable to that sector. So we're conscious of it. It's something we'd like to see improve again, but we did hit a peak about 2 years ago.
Or, Thank you, Councillor Alexander.
I've just noticed that when I go to the gym or when I go to the swimming, there is the possibility that people could just walk in and go to these venues, that I don't think there's a check, and I just wondered if there are many people. I go to the Last Wade Centre. I just wondered if there are many people just going in and enjoying.
It's again, live and learn as we go through. The Last Wade Centre didn't have a control point which led down to the corridor on the left as you go into the centre. And we've seen social disturbance in that area, certainly through the winter months, and the introduction of glass doors there will hopefully help that control of people just migrating down that corridor rather than paying through the desk. You'll see at the new Battle Centre, the reception desk is in a more strategic position, so people can't just go down the corridor, and they do have to pass by that front desk. The other centres are a bit more controlled in their entrance.
Thank you. I do have another question. Sorry. The turnaround time for void properties seems to be excessive, and we're not meeting our targets there, and that must have huge repercussions on loss of rent, loss of income, and bed and breakfast, etc. What is happening to improve efficiency and turning round voids?
Yeah, the voids numbers are heavily influenced by the state of what we get back. Now, when we get a void back, we obviously have to do the statutory checks on that, and then if there's not a great deal to be done, we certify it fit for the next tenant coming in. But we're increasingly seeing the need for more decoration, repair, replacement than what we've seen in the past. We also have a lot more properties than what we've had in the past coming through, which is putting stress on the service. The service has a finite number of people involved in it, and we've got that finite budget to go with it. So we're under pressure, but we have been working with Kevin Anderson's team to look at how we can avoid the properties coming back in the state that we've seen some recently.
Thank you. Any other questions on this report? Thank you. We can now move on to 5.1, Inspection of Care at Home Service Report by the Joint Director. Oh, no, Alison. It's Morag, sorry. sorry.
That's okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. So the paper gives an overview of a recent unannounced inspection the Care at Home Service had from the Care Inspectorate in May 2018. And we received a draft report in June, and the final report came to us in August. As you'll see from the report, the scores we received were a 3 for care and support, a 3 for quality of staffing, and a 2 for management and leadership. The Care Inspectorate acknowledged that the team had made progress since the visit in 2017, but not enough to raise our grades, which is disappointing. You'll also see from the report that as well as some new requirements we had, there were some unmet requirements from as far back as 2012. So from my perspective, this is not an acceptable place to be. So I wanted to take the opportunity to advise where we were going with this and what we were doing to make sure that the grades were raised next time. What we've actually done since the report is we've stripped the service back to basics. We've overhauled all the information systems that we've used or weren't using. We've built processes and put processes in place. I think a lot of the ways of working were quite cultural and were person-dependent rather than process and information system-dependent. And as you'll all know as well, this is against the backdrop of continual challenges to provide the amount of care that are required to keep people safe at home. In terms of the actions, we have just about completed our Care Inspectorate Action Plan, which means that the requirements will all be completed by the end of September. However, that all needs to be embedded into practice, and that's going to take a little bit more time. In terms of giving you a flavour of what we've actually done, we have completely renewed all of our care plans. We've done that with clients and with families. We have a full review process in place, which takes us forward 6 months at a time. We've put auditing templates in place and reporting. We've put training templates and overview in place. We've built an incident and complaints and concerns report. We've also used systems like Mosaic and CM2000 that weren't, again, used to their maximal capacity when we've built these in again to processes moving forward. From an HR perspective, we have had a focus on absence management. We've brought down absence by about 10% in the area since June, so significant progress, although still a way to go with that. We have a new manager in post that we've seconded in post just now, who's doing a really good job. We've pulled in additional resource from other areas within the services, such as planning officer and project management support. And we are unfortunately having to support and manage some staff through an improvement plan process. We've also taken the opportunity to try and look at things as a one council. So we've pulled in support, which has been really helpful from other teams within the council. Learning and development have supported us in terms of building a training strategy. We've done some work with the SVQ team, who are going to do observed practice for us, which actually gives a better way of managing observed practice, because it's almost an external team that are doing the reviews rather than our staff themselves doing reviews. The Mosaic team have helped us to build in reports which will be generated automatically on a weekly or monthly basis, depending on what management require. And we've looked at how the pharmacists within the health side of the directorate work with us in terms of reviewing medication charts. From a workforce perspective, we've put a new technology that allows us to ensure carers are safe and we know where they are at any one point in time, but also allows us to measure the effectiveness and efficiency of our planning, specifically in relation to travel time. We have just recruited additional locums. We are about to advertise for additional carers as well, but we're also going to try putting some senior carers into each locality so we can try to start to provide some kind of a career progression for carers within the geographical areas. We're also working with our external providers. You'll be aware we have 3 contracts with the external providers. Some of the challenges we receive internally are because they don't take enough in relation to the challenges they have to recruit. So we have 2 tests of change working with 2 of the providers to man 2 mobile units each over 6 months and see how that works in terms of efficiency for some of the areas that we're struggling to provide care in. We're also about to start a recruitment campaign, and we'll do that again with the external providers. From a communications perspective, we set up a carers group. Again, I think one of the things that we probably haven't done as well as we could have is listen to our staff. So we've asked for volunteers, and we have a carers group, and they're working with us around some of the processes and the developments we're putting in place. We've asked relatives who've made complaints, we've dealt with their complaints, and we've then asked them to come in and work with us as a standalone group to actually get feedback and use them as a user group, if you like, to test some of our ideas at, and that's working really, really well. We have weekly briefs going out to the carer staff, we have staff meetings in place, and senior management have been out shadowing carers as well. So I think a completely different way of working over the last 3 months since we received this report. Going forward, we will provide a monthly high rate report that will go to Cabinet and to Grace, just giving progress on where we are. We have had 2 meetings with the Care Inspectorate. I met with the Care Inspectorate last week, and verbally they have expressed they're very pleased with the amount of progress they've made in such a short time. They've not told us when they'll be back next. I expect it will be in the next 3 months. However, they are very happy with the progress we've made, and they recognise that really what we need is a bit of time to actually bed these new systems and procedures into practice. We have staff alerts that go out to the staff with messages, and as I said, we have weekly briefs that go out to staff as well. Looking forward, this will take a bit of time. I would like to make promises to members that when the inspectorate come out next time, we will receive higher grades. I hope that will be the case, but a lot of it is cultural and a lot of it is changing historical ways of working, and we need to support the staff to work in different ways, which includes carers out in the community and also staff within our offices as well. And also, once we get past this particular element in the journey, we also need to look, I think, at the whole service model moving forwards. Again, I would just like to say that it would be helpful to get support on this. It's a completely different way of working for some of our staff. Some staff may choose not to stay with us because it is quite different, but we don't want a quick fix. We need to build ways of working that will actually give us a foot forward moving forwards and not just put a finger in the dike just now, which I think, again, we've probably been guilty of doing in the past. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much. That's quite a detailed response. My first question, I'll go to Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Chair. For me, the part of the report that really stood out was in quality of management and leadership. And it was specifically the sentence that said, "We are concerned that poor performance in this theme was constraining performance for the service as a whole." Now, I'm glad to see that you've obviously put in some measures to address some of those problems, but a lot of the measures you've mentioned seem to be more concerned at the lower staffing end and the kind of interaction with the customer end rather than the kind of higher level management. And are you satisfied that the improvements at the higher level of management will make those changes that will hopefully improve standards across the board, as it seems to be that leadership and the management seem to be the specific issue constraining performance in this service?
Yeah, I mean, in short, your answer, yes, I am. I think we have a strong team in place. I think from director level right down to care at home manager level, there's been a significant amount of change over the past 12 months. We now have a very strong team in place. The description of leadership is about visible leadership, but it's also about management overview. So the reports weren't in place. We didn't have that overarching understanding of what was happening at any point in time. So a lot of the processing systems we've built will actually allow the management team to have a full overview of every single thing that's happening within the service. So it wasn't just the visible leadership stuff, although I take on board what you've said. I'm very, very comfortable that the team we've got in place are the right team.
Thank you. Councillor Wallace.
Thanks, Convener. Again, I have to question the inspectors when they come to write these reports. And again, it always seems to be the people on the cold face that takes the brunt of this. They're the ones that are in there doing the hard graft. How can they only get an adequate report when the people, the family members are saying, and I'm quoting it here, "I'm very happy with the service that I receive. Excellent staff, always friendly and efficient." And another one is, "Excellent service, girls are brilliant." How does that end up as just being adequate? Does anybody inspect the inspectors?
Thank you, Councillor Wallace. Are you able to make any comment on that?
No. But I do think you make a good point. The staff on the ground work very, very hard. I would have been extremely upset if it had been any less than a 3 for care. And I think we need to be supporting them more going forward, hence the fact that we're trying to look at some kind of a career structure to give them different pathways to go within care and create a career within care.
Councillor Cassidy.
Thank you, Chair. When you say you need support going forward, do you mean from the councillors? Do you mean from a director level? Where is that support coming from?
No, I think I'm aware that obviously some of these requirements have been there for a long time that we need to do. And I'm aware that whilst over the past 3 months we could tick the box on paper and say, yes, we've put all the requirements in place, but that is about setting up processing systems and management overview. Now we need to embed that into business as usual, and we need to support the staff to work differently. So that won't change overnight. That takes a bit of time. So I suppose I'm just maybe putting a word of caution out there that if the care inspector were to come in next week, yes, they would report a significant amount of change, but it might not rise until December, January, when actually they can see that practices have changed as a result of the processes and things that we've put in place. So I think it's just recognising that to support the staff, I'm very aware that the pace of change over the past 3 months has been very fast. I think we couldn't have done any more, or we would have tipped over the edge, and I just think it would be really good to get support just to embed these things moving forwards.
Thank you. Councillor Alexander.
I have, over the years, had various members of my family been in care for one reason or another. And I find, as the report says, that the people on the ground work extremely hard. However, I have found that perhaps they're doing things that they think is really, really good and caring, but it's not really. So I just wonder if they're getting the right education, the right, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously mandatory training that they do. The new training report will give us a much better visibility of who's done what and who needs to do to catch up, but I think there's a bigger picture. So I want to look at things like good conversation training with them. I think they are our eyes and ears, and I think in some ways, because we've become so busy, that they've almost just become quite task-focused, and actually there's that whole holistic element that they need to bring. So we're looking at not only just the mandatory training, but look at some of the softer skills that we need to do. The other thing that will assure you, I suppose, is in terms of how we're going to be doing the observed practice moving forward. So that's when an external person arranges to be at a house and actually watches the carer with the client to make sure they're doing what they should be doing and if there's any training and support required. That, again, it needs to be better, and I think that's what's good for me in terms of where we're proposing going forward, because it's an external team that are doing that, and we can then build more training and support around that. So undoubtedly there will be areas that we need to better in, but that's going to give us that knowledge. We'll design the training to support carers.
Thank you. Councillor McCall.
Thank you, Chair. One of the things I just wanted to ask about, and I think it could be anywhere in the country, I don't think it would matter where this report was, it would still come up the same, that people with dementia, it upsets them when they're getting different carers in at, you know, at different times. I just wonder how we're addressing that, please.
Yeah, I mean, our prime focus is safety. So unfortunately, there are times where in order to make sure somebody is safe, a different carer has to go in. That is not our aspiration moving forwards. We would ideally like to get back to having one or two carers per client for reasons that you know. We're not in a position to guarantee that just now. We hope we will get in a better position as we embed some of the new ways of working, but there will still be times where there are more carers going than we would be ideal, but we would aspire not to do that as much as we can, but I totally agree.
Thank you. Councillor Smale.
My question is to what the next step will be for us with the Care Inspectorate. You'll notice on page 6 of 14 and page 7 of 14, on numerous occasions they say, the provider must do this by the 10th September 2018. Now, I've heard positively many of the things which you are achieving within the reformation of this area, but I just wonder if we're heading towards the naughty step with that deadline having passed.
Yeah, I think we've been on the naughty step. We did meet them last week, so my plan with the Care Inspectorate was to try and keep them quite close and to meet them regularly, so we weren't just waiting till the next inspection. After we met last week, they were reassured about the amount of work that's gone. We said that everything will be complete by the end of the month, and they actually were very positive and said we now need to think about when we come back, because clearly you need to have time to go away and embed it. So I'm quite comfortable now that actually they will give us a little bit of time. However, that does mean that they're going to be looking at these things been embedded in practice, so we still absolutely need to keep a focus on this moving forwards.
Thank you. Any other questions? I have a question. It seems for a long time that standards or grades have been slipping, and I wonder, we had a lot of work carried out at New Byres, so is it a case that the management are having difficulty juggling all the balls at the same time, and something needs to be looked at that department?
The way we are managing this just now is kind of similar to what happened in New Byres. Obviously, that was a model that was turned around really with support. So we have director and head of service focus on this on a weekly and monthly basis. I think it's fair to say, again, there's been a significant amount of managerial change in the service. We seem to be in quite a good place just now, and I think we need that consistency. I think, again, probably we didn't really know what we didn't know previously, so we now know exactly where we are. We are able to document and evidence everything we didn't know before, but I think the continual pressure is around the demand for care at home, and hence we need to be working with colleagues, not just in Lothian, but across the country, to actually look at what is the model going forward for care at home, because you're absolutely right, we are not alone in this at all. So we are looking at some opportunities, working with third sector partners to look at how we could train unemployed people, almost like a bit of an apprenticeship. We've had some discussion with the unions again about how we could develop again school leavers. So we're trying to not only deal with this just now, deliver the service, we've also got our eyes about what we need to do moving forward to have a different way of working.
Thank you. And when you were doing your initial introduction, you were talking about pulling in support from other areas of the council, and you've got a seconded manager in place to do things. How can we be assured that standards won't fail from these areas that you've pulled staff in from?
The seconded manager comes from health, a separate team in health, so it doesn't impact on the council at all. The other teams, the other people that we've brought in are within our directorate who are support roles, so there shouldn't be any detrimental impact. What other services in the council might notice is if we're using the Mosaic team, for example, that there might be some delays in other areas in terms of some of the work that we're asking them to prioritise. But again, these things are coming to an end now, so I wouldn't anticipate that moving forwards.
Thank you very much. Any other questions on this report? Thank you. We're all happy to move on to 5.3, Adult Social Care, Quarter 1 Performance Report. Oh, sorry, I've moved 5.2. Again. 5.2, the SPSO Annual Report. And now Simon Bain's going to take us through that.
Thanks, Chair. So this report provides an update on the published annual report of reviews relating to Midlothian Council's Scottish Welfare Fund appeal cases that were handled by the Scottish Public Services Ombudsman for the last financial year. In terms of background information, the Scottish Welfare Fund is delivered by Midlothian Council on behalf of the Scottish Government. There's two elements to that. There's a crisis loan, a crisis grants, and there's a community care grants. So in the case where an appeal is made against any decisions that are made by the Council, internally a team leader will reconsider that claim, and if the claimant still disagrees with the outcome, then they can ask the SPSO to review the case. So in terms of the Appendix 1 that's attached and Appendix 2, Appendix 1 provides appeals data about the Council itself, and Appendix 2 is the detail of the SPSO's annual report. So in terms of noting information in the last financial year, there were 4 appeal cases considered by the SPSO as compared to 13 from the previous year, which is positive news for the Council. And that's also within the context of an overall increase in applicants applying for crisis and community care grants across the country, and that's mirrored within Midlothian Council. And that's, on average, around about 18% for the last couple of years. So members are recommended to note the report and the specific outcomes for Midlothian Council.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have a question? No questions. Can I ask a question? What are we doing to prevent crisis?
Prevent crisis in terms of financial crisis? Well, okay. That's a big question. So I'm speaking on behalf of Customer and Housing Services team. I'm involved in a piece of work that is about to be commissioned, Council are aware of, in relation to welfare and money advice and the provision of services in Midlothian. So there's work that's underway in respect of delivering services differently that will assist members of the public, in addition to the work that I've touched on in terms of the Scottish Welfare Fund. So the principle behind that work, this is a bit of work that's been led by Alistair Mathers, is that there's a one council approach to members of the public, and there's a one-stop shop idea that if member of the public requires specialist money advice or debt or welfare advice, then individuals can be referred to that service, and not having to link in with the myriad of the services that operate currently. But it's not really an area of my specialism, but that's my understanding of what's happening corporately just now.
Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Cassidy?
Could I just ask one last question? Is there any system in place to prevent it becoming a crisis? Do we have any warning signs, any kind of flag-up systems that we can prevent this from happening in the first place?
I touched on the increase in the number of applications to the crisis and community grant. That's essentially the backdrop to that is the changes in welfare benefits. So the introduction of universal credit, which the Midlothian Council piloted, and the other changes to welfare benefits. So, and a number of respects, that's out with the ask of the Council. But just going back to what I said previously, the focus of the unified money and welfare advice services will be preventative in its focus. So it's about communicating information to the public about maximising income and good information around debt advice and such like.
Thank you. Councillor Wallace.
Yeah, I'd like to congratulate the Scottish Government for once again mitigating against Tory policies that are hitting the poorest in our society the hardest.
Thank you very much. Councillor Alexander.
Hi. I would just like to ask, are reports going back to the Westminster Government about how the universal credit is hitting communities across the whole of Britain?
I'm really not sure. And it's not within my remit, but so I think we could arrange for a response to come directly to you on that point.
Are we sending reports back? Is there a mechanism for doing that?
I mean, I certainly know in the past that government ministers have met with senior members of staff within the council and other councillors to discuss, you know, the changes to welfare reforms and the impact that that's having on communities within Midlothian, yes.
Thank you very much. Any more questions? Councillor Smale.
Well, I'd like to congratulate the Tory government for achieving the lowest level of unemployment since 1975. And to point out... Oh, you don't like facts, do you? The SNP never do. And to point out the amelioration of the problems with universal credit, I don't support every aspect of it, but everyone around this table knows the system that had six separate benefits and resulted in benefit dependency was not the way forward for this nation. There will be many people, thanks to universal credit, who will learn to manage their own revenues and achieve a greater degree of flexibility in their housing arrangements and become more mobile within the labour market. And since the standards of living have not actually collapsed, and since we are not actually seeing mass poverty, and since the most recent report on inequality has indicated that inequality has been exaggerated by the Scottish Government and by other governments, I think we ought to realise this debate is live at a higher level than perhaps is competent for this council, myself and Councillor Wallace included.
One moment, please. Thank you very much. This isn't a committee where we are challenging the government. This is a committee where we are challenging the council's performance. And could we bear that in mind, please?
I quite agree.
One last question. Councillor Wallace.
It wasn't a question, it's an observation. If somebody can see that even in Pennycook we have three food banks and he thinks that there's no poverty, you ought to go and have a good look at yourself and his government.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace. I actually helped open one of those food banks.
Excuse me, no. Can we...
The action taken by voluntary groups in Midlothian to ameliorate poverty is thoroughly to be commended.
We are now moving on to 5.3, Adult Social Care Performance Report for quarter one, and that will be done by Morag. Is it Morag or Alison? It's a duet. Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
I'm going to start with the report. It's quite a detailed report this time. Not going to touch on all of the aspects, but obviously happy to take questions across the piece. In terms of integration, obviously we've had a fairly positive year. We've got some fairly significant transformation work that's happening within the service. A couple of key areas that we've been looking at, particularly within this, has been the...
Don't come here if you laugh at that. Thank you, Chair, for your very long partisan chairing of this meeting.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Alison. I'd like to call a recess for about 5 minutes, please. Thank you. Would my colleagues like to join me in our group office?